Welcome back.
It's hour number three of your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow here for another hour. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow night as well, and then it's Thanksgiving break, and Mike and Kathy Malloy will return on Monday. Thanks for joining us here as we broadcast from the Left Coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. Our thanks to Stephanie Miller for allowing us to stink up her studio. So it's good to be here. Good to have you with us. Stop by our chat room, still up and rolling tonight, as it will be until after the show, at bradblog.com. While you're there, consider purchasing a copy of Imagine Politique, a political thriller that I'm in, a fictional thriller, yet I'm still in it somehow. And let's see. Oh, and we're going to get to your calls momentarily at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Anything we've been talking about tonight or anything else that's on your mind. And by the way, I have to remind you, if you're a right-winger, if you're a flying monkey, as Mike likes to call you, you are still welcome to call in and disagree with me. I love to hear from the folks who don't agree with me, and I don't know why anybody wouldn't, frankly, because I'm so right all the time. Don't laugh, Desi Doyen. We all heard you in the back. Because, you know, I was talking to Jeannie Dean actually during the break there. She said the folks down in Occupy Memphis, they're sitting down with the Tea Party folks. Well, about damn time. I mean, the real Tea Party folks, certainly the Ron Paul folks, but then, you know, the folks that the Republican Party tricked into becoming Tea Partiers, standing up against big government tyranny. Look what's going on in our streets. Look at these cops bringing their big government tyranny, tear gas, pepper spray. It's unbelievable against shredding the rights of these constitutional rights of these folks. You know, we know why Glenn Beck's not going to be there, because he was a liar. He didn't really care about big government. Andrew Breitbart doesn't really care about tyranny or rights of the people. But those folks who were out in the streets who were angry with AIG, the bonuses that were being given, the government money that was being given to AIG, and that money was given to bonuses, to executives, those people ought to be out there with the occupiers. This is the same damn fight, Des.
I think they are. You know, there are. I'm hearing more and more that there are, you know, trickles of Tea Partiers that are showing up and they're having some conversations.
Good.
So I think that's a good thing.
Now, I think so too, because we're not going to get out of this mess if it's one side or the other, one fake side against one other fake side. This is the country. This is the people. This is us. This is we, the people. You know, at least 99% of us. And so when they split it down the middle, man, they know what they're doing. They're trying to,
divide and conquer works.
Yeah, and let's make it not work anymore. Okay, the reason you're here, Des, I should get to this. Of course, Desi Doyen, lovely producer of the Mike Malloy Show when I'm in here doing my thing. She's also my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations from coast to coast and around the globe. And if you don't have it on your progressive station, I would call and complain. 6 minutes. Well, you'll hear. We're going to play today's Green News Report right here. And I know you had some stuff you wanted to add to it concerning...
Yes, ocean acidification.
Now, I know that sounds really boring, but it's not. So hang on here. Let's get to the Green News Report, and then we'll come back with Desi Doyen.
It's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2011.
What we are seeing today is residual oil slowly coming to surface.
Meet the world's newest oil spill, now in Brazil and starring Chevron.
There are still too many Republicans in Congress who have refused to listen to the voices of reason and compromise.
Super committee fail, a win for big oil. Confirmed again, extreme weather is the new normal. Bye-bye oysters, plus... Surprise! Fox News deceives its viewers about climate change.
So we asked you in the one burning question today about all this, whether it's a real threat or an attack on capitalism.
Or the more you watch Fox, the less you know.
Many of you say attack on capitalism.
All
of that and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Senator Rand Paul proposing that it's possible that maybe power plant emissions cure asthma.
I knew those coal plants are good for you.
Think of the implications for medicine. Feeling sick? Suck a tailpipe.
Delicious.
Quick side note, it turns out that Senator Paul's biggest donor is the delicious, delicious coal industry.
Who could have seen that coming? This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, as the world continues to turn upside down, what details do you have for us today on all the madness?
Well, meet the world's newest oil spill, now off the coast of Brazil. Now tell me if this sounds familiar. Brazil will impose fines of upwards of $56 million on Chevron and rig owner Transocean for a deep water oil leak off of Brazil's Atlantic coast that's estimated to have spilled over 100,000 gallons of crude oil. George Buck, the American director of Chevron's Brazilian subsidiary, has promised to clean up the spill.
We will work with the government authorities for lessons learned to ensure that this does not happen in Brazil again.
Ah, good. Well, it'll never happen again.
At least not in Brazil. In the U.S., the failure of the Congressional Supercommittee is good news for the oil industry. On Monday, President Obama criticized congressional Republicans for rejecting a balanced approach to reducing the deficit that included raising taxes. The failure to reach a deficit deal means that $4 billion in annual permanent taxpayer subsidies to the oil industry will remain.
Oh, thank goodness.
The oil industry, the most profitable industry in the history of mankind, receives nearly four times the subsidies and tax breaks than the renewable energy industry receives.
I thought the Republicans didn't want the government to be picking winners and losers.
They have to be the right kind of winners and losers.
I see.
Bad news for oysters and other things with shells. Researchers say ocean acidification is the cause of a crash in oyster populations in the Pacific Northwest. The ocean naturally absorbs some of the carbon dioxide that humans emit from burning fossil fuels, but high concentrations of carbon dioxide in seawater trigger a chemical reaction that disrupts shell formation for many species in the early stages of development. No shell, no oysters. Higher carbon dioxide emissions also mean that the rash of extreme weather around the world will get worse and become the new normal. That's the conclusion of the latest summary of climate change science from the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, released in advance of the latest round of international climate negotiations that are scheduled to begin next week. The IPCC says that unless emissions are cut, it is, quote, very likely that extreme weather events like severe droughts and record floods that used to happen once in a generation could occur as often as every other year by the end of the century. Finally, where will you hear the most coverage of climate change?
Right here on the Green News Report?
Well, yes, that. But on TV, you'll hear it on Fox News.
Well, that's great. I had no idea.
Ah, but you won't hear the science, just the spin.
I see. The made-up stuff.
Yes, a new academic study shows that of the three major cable networks over a two-year period, Fox News covered climate change far more than CNN or MSNBC combined.
That's great news.
And Fox's coverage was dominated by denial of the science.
Oh, not so good, but hardly a surprise.
Another study shows that Fox News viewers are less informed than people who don't watch any news at all. So turn off your TV, and already you're smarter than a diehard Fox News viewer.
Carbon dioxide is basically this. Look how much pollution I just put out.
And share that with your misinformed right-wing brother-in-law over Thanksgiving dinner this week. Speaking of, we'll see you after the holidays. Until then, for more on today's stories and all of the other ones we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help support the Green News Report, including a new book, Richard Averitt's Imagine Politique, in which I, Brad Friedman, actually appear as a fictional character. No kidding. Check it out. It's an explosive political thriller, and it's a lot of fun. Check it out at greennews.bradblog.com. Until then, happy Thanksgiving to all. We'll see you next week. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report. Gobble, gobble.
Take the run and ride yourself away.
Well, no, don't go away. Don't go away. We're still here.
We're still here. Well, look how that works.
Well done, Des. That was a good, good report. You wanted to follow up on something on the shellfish business, the ocean acidification.
And it sounds like a huge word, but really what it is that the ocean is a natural carbon sink. It sucks up about half of the carbon dioxide that we humans emit through our burning of fossil fuels. And it's sort of the evil twin of climate change. It's the one that they don't usually talk about. You know, you hear Fox News, you hear about global warming and rising global temperatures,
right.
But what you and that's caused by carbon dioxide, you know, as a greenhouse gas. It creates this blanket and doesn't let the heat escape. But it also does this thing with the oceans. It's actually a chemical reaction that occurs that becomes corrosive.
And
like, you know, like if you ever took a can of Coke and poured a can of Coke on something that you wanted to sort of corrode away, like your battery terminals on your car. I don't know if you've ever done that.
I've done that.
It works great.
Okay.
It kind of is the same thing on oyster shells and shrimp shells and plankton shells.
Well, you had, because I have seen you over the years, you know, whenever we get these folks coming by and say, oh, there's no such thing as global warming. It's all imagined. They fake the data. I've always seen you say that, or it's cold outside. It can't be warming. I've always seen you say, well, then how do you explain ocean acidification? And these guys never have an answer.
Right, because they don't have an answer because there isn't an answer. There is no other way to explain the high carbon dioxide levels that are found higher than they used to be. And that laboratory tests show actually dissolves the shells of these animals. And the important thing about this particular study that they did in Yale, it's on Yale360.com. Mm-hmm. You can check it out at greennews.bradblog.com. We have all the links there.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that on the Pacific Northwest, where this heavily carbon dioxide water is sort of congregating, it's actually water that's a deep upwelling that happens seasonally in the Pacific Northwest. It's 30 to 50 years old, the carbon dioxide that's in there. It's that deep. It takes that long for the ocean to turn over in that area. So that means this is carbon dioxide concentrations from 30 to 50 years ago before we really got seriously underway with major emissions. So that could have some very troubling implications for when the upwelling of the ocean from now's carbon dioxide emissions start to unfold 30 to 50 years from now.
Oh, brother.
That's the important point
folks,
to take away.
Yeah, and folks have just no explanation for that. Even if you said that whether the data is phony, it's cold out, or whatever it is you want to say, there's still no explanation for why that is happening to our oceans.
Other than carbon dioxide.
Oh, science. Got it. All right. Well done, Des. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to get to your call straight ahead, 877-520-1150. Desi Doyen, you're just lovely. I appreciate that. 877-520-1150. Get in line now. Don't wait till it's too late. I got someone who's mad at me in comments over at Brad Blog. I'll get to that and your calls straight ahead. Brad Friedman on your Mike Malloy Show. Stay tuned. Keeps on raining, that is gone. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. Get in now. Do not wait. And I will get to your calls momentarily. But I had mentioned I had some somebody got mad at me over in comments at Brad Blog. Ruth Z, says, Brad, I'm a huge fan of Mike Malloy. I supported Air America when it was brand new. I listen daily, but I have to tell you, when I hear you say, quote, like a scared little girl, you can fill in the verb, as I have now heard on two occasions, it makes my blood boil. I know a lot of little girls who are far braver than their scared little brothers. why do you have to make such a patently sexist remark comparing adult behavior to little girls? At worst, you should say, like a scared little kid or a scared little animal, but scared little girl, please, time to do a little consciousness raising and stop perpetuating the typical stereotypes. It's bad enough that the regular media are bombarding the airwaves with bimbos and imbeciles galore, Kim Kardashian, etc. Do we on the left have to tolerate such asinine remarks as the one you made tonight and that I heard as I drove through traffic and had to stay focused and not scream when I heard you say that? Thanks for listening. Well, you're welcome. I don't ever remember saying scared little girl. Do you, Tony? Does that ring a bell? Now, if I said it, she's kind of right. I disagree with Ruth there, although I probably said it as a joke, but I don't even remember saying it. So anyway, Ruth, sorry that your blood was boiling. I hope it's cooling off now, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and disagreeing with me, because I love when people disagree with me. Did you know that? All right. One Wisconsin now today announced that it has created a $10,000 reward fund to help prevent the defacement and destruction of recall petitions. We cannot allow democracy to be threatened by those who would illegally destroy recall petitions with valid signatures on them. Scott Ross, director for One Wisconsin Now, said. According to Ross, the organization has received numerous complaints and concerns from its 52,000 members about individuals threatening to destroy petitions up in the recall Walker race going on up there. We have been covering this here on The Molloy Show and over at Brad Blog for the last several nights. And now they're offering a $10,000 reward for anyone who has evidence of someone destroying petitions in this Governor Walker recall race. If there is evidence of it and they are convicted, if they are arrested and convicted. So check out One Wisconsin Now if you have any evidence of people doing this. Fight back. It's your country. Take it back. We're here to help you. Brad in for Mike. Your calls immediately after this next break. Stay tuned.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders.
34 minutes after the hour, Brad of BradBlog.com in for Mike. Taking your calls at 877-520-1150. Got just a couple of lines open if you want to try to get in. 877-520-1150. You can tweet me at the Brad Blog, and you can stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where I hope you'll consider buying a copy of the new political thriller by Richard Averitt, Imagine Politique. He's been sponsoring us all week by making books available, signing them for you guys just in time for Christmas, a really intense political thriller in an election year, in a year where a lot of the book sounds a hell of a lot like Occupy Wall Street. Your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, Brad Friedman, actually shows up in this book as a fictional character. So check that out at bradblog.com. If you purchase one, you'll be doing a great service to me and Progressive Media. So thanks in advance. All right, to the calls. Bob in Sam Clam's Disco. Welcome to the Mike Molloy Show. Bob, what's on your mind, brother?
Hi. I've seen the defense thing become concrete now that the Super Congress failed and the cuts are actually on tap to happen.
You've seen the what become concrete?
The cuts to the defense.
Concrete might be an overstatement, Bob, yes. But okay, I got your point, yes?
Well, we should push for them. And,
okay.
And my point is that the Tea Party should push for them. They're the original deficit hawks.
Right.
they should make sure that they happen. And
of course, you know, Bob, they weren't really deficit hawks, right? They're just kind of faking that.
Aren't they a little kind of betrayed by the Super Congress? I mean, they weren't represented, except maybe by...
Well, they weren't represented, but it failed now. So the Super Committee just goes back to being the normal idiot committee, to quote Albert Brooks on Twitter. But, the teabaggers didn't care about deficits. They were told to care about deficits. They didn't care about it for years and years of Bush, all the wars, Medicare Part D, all the tax cuts. They still don't care about the deficits now. Otherwise, they would not allow these tax cuts to continue. They wouldn't be calling for more. So,
well, yeah, but they, you know, they don't want revenue, presumably. But, you know, they could be talked out of that. None of them think they're going to be around very long, and they don't need to be kowtowing to Grover Norquist. Well, you know, they should actually kind of stand for what at least they made a difference concerning, and that was that cliffhanger with the debt ceiling.
All right. Well, listen, you got to draw a distinction, Bob. There are the manipulators and the manipulated. The manipulators don't give a damn about any of this. They never cared about deficits. They never cared about, John Kerry flip-flopping. They never cared about, they care about what is politically expedient, period. They don't care about socialism. That's all made up. It's phony. Those are the manipulators. The manipulated, however, are a different story. And, you know, there is reasons to be concerned about the deficit. There's reasons to be concerned about government spending. There's reasons to be concerned about big government tyranny. The manipulators never really gave a damn about that. And so that would be the folks in Congress. They don't care about this stuff at all. It's a political scam. It's not the Tea Party. It's the sore loser party.
Well, how do they enjoy being the part of the good cop, bad cop game that was run on Obama? Don't they know that they were the reason why we had to put off two-thirds of this reduction thing? And don't they notice that they're only good for $900 billion so far?
I don't think they know much of anything, frankly, because most of the time they're watching Fox News. And as Des mentioned in the Green News Report and we talked about yesterday, if you don't watch Fox, if you don't watch any news at all,
right,
you will know more about the news than if you watch Fox.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bob. I got to run. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Ron in Prescott, Arizona, and now I know it's not Prescott, it's Prescott, Arizona. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Molloy Show.
Yeah, good evening, Brad. I haven't heard you say anything about the Iran situation, whether you think Israel should nuke Iran.
No, no nuking anybody. I think you mean whether Israel should attack Iran, Iran's nukes.
Yeah. Okay.
No, no.
Okay.
No, I do not.
Okay, good. I thought you would not agree with that. And I watched part of the debate tonight, the clowns.
Yeah.
And the only one who said stay out of the whole thing was Ron Paul.
Yep.
And but the rest were rabid. I mean, they want to attack Iran right now. They said the U.S. should be in on the attack. We've got to destroy them.
Yeah, they're idiots. They're off the rails. They're absolutely insane. Ron Paul is not insane. Again, you may disagree with him, but he actually does give a damn about the Constitution. And you might not agree with his interpretation of the Constitution or anything else, but he means it. He gives a damn about the Constitution. The other guys, they're all pretenders. All they want is the nomination. Period. They will say anything to get it, no matter how absolutely insane.
And they're catering to all the Fox terrorists,
yes,
propagandists,
yes.
Zombies,
yes.
Thinking that that's going to get them the win. And they don't realize that the independents and some of the conservative Democrats are going to hear these idiots and say, these guys are insane. They're out of their mind.
Yeah. I've been talking with David Frum, George W. Bush's old speech writer. He's the guy who coined the phrase axis of evil. And he actually knows that these people have gone insane. And he wrote a great piece that I have a difficult time disagreeing with much of it in New York yesterday. New York Network magazine. And I haven't talked about it tonight because I'm hoping to get David on. I asked him if he would come on the show tonight. I forgot the debate was on, so he's on CNN duty, whatever he's got. We may have David on tomorrow night. We will have Catherine Cryer on tomorrow night, so don't miss that. But we may have David on, David Frum, to talk about this. Go read his article. That's exactly what he talks about, how his party has gone absolutely off the rails. They're gone absolutely insane. They either don't believe what they're saying, or they do believe it because all they're doing is talking to themselves on Fox News. Stuff that we have known for years about these people, but now you've got folks inside the actual Republican Party who are saying it. So go really, I recommend this article a lot. It's very instructive about how folks on the right think, both the sane ones and the crazy ones.
Give the name again and the article.
It's David Frum, and it's in New York Magazine. And hang on, let me grab it here. I got it here somewhere. Wait a minute. Oh, yes, here we go. The title is, When Did the GOP Lose Touch with Reality?
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah, and the subtitle, Some of My Republican Friends Ask If I've Gone Crazy. I say, look in the mirror. And that's the guy who wrote the phrase Axis of Evil for George W. Bush. He also, by the way, says he's haunted by his time with George W. Bush. So I hope to ask him about that if I can get him on the show perhaps tomorrow.
Sounds great, Brad.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the call.
You.
All right, let's go to Juan in San Rafael. Hey, Juan, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad. Thanks for having me on. I was talking to my friends about what turned around the Brazilian economy, and what it was people occupying warehouses that were closed down by corporations that were run out by the Brazilian government. And they started the factories up. The army and police went in to try and get them out. They couldn't get them out, and they started producing things right there in Brazil.
They took over the warehouses and started up factories in them?
Factories already closed down factories, and they started them up and started producing products. We have tons of closed down factories, probably in L.A. So if the Occupy Wall Street people or Occupy L.A. people could catalog those places and get some cooperation from the mayor like they appear to have, they might be able to start a movement of that kind, because we're failing as an economy because we don't produce anything. And that's because they went overseas everywhere.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, interesting idea, Juan. Thanks, I appreciate it. I know we got some folks listening at Occupy LA and elsewhere around the country, so let's see what happens. A lot of good ideas out there, and, well, you know, the ideas that are coming out of Occupy are so much more interesting than the nonsense that's coming out of Washington, D.C., and out of my TV set all the time. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Watt. I appreciate it. All right. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Haven't had a single wingnut yet call in to tell me I'm a scared little girl. You see, I had to say it, didn't I? I just had to say it. I was kidding. See, I was saying that a wingnut would say that about me. I was. All right. Let's go to, do I have time? Yes, let's go to Matt in Napa, California. A lot of folks in California tonight. Glad to hear from you. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Hey, I'm not sure if you heard on Democracy Now! This morning there was a report from Tahrir Square that the tear gas canisters they're now identifying as being produced by an American company in Jamestown, Pennsylvania. And I'm just, you know, I think there's a lot of significance to a potential Occupy movement going there and you know, creating some international Occupy momentum, not to mention that Egypt is, you know, in the relationship with the United States and the $1.3 billion, and them as the leader of the Muslim world and a potential rapprochement with the war on terror. You know, I just think that movement.
So you're saying go occupy the tear gas factory.
Absolutely.
All right. I like the idea.
Especially if we continue to see, the uprising in Egypt, the way it's been the last few days. If that continues, I think in particular, and it also, American companies and private enterprise in general has this way of being able to hide out. The Egyptians have no access to this company. The American people have no access to pass laws that prevent them from, having their tear gas being produced by, outlaw governments, basically, in other countries. So
it's a good idea, actually. And I remember those made in the USA tear gas canisters in the initial Egyptian uprising, as I recall. And of course, if you want to make us stop making tear gas, well, we won't make anything in this country. We have to make arms, we have to make violent crap, otherwise we would have made nothing, as you know, Matt. All right. Good idea, though. I appreciate that. Go occupy the tear gas factory. That's a good idea. All right. Coming back with our last few minutes and a few more of your calls as we can fit them in. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
I'll never forget the people I met. Braving those angry skies, I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. Oh, when the dawn comes on, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover.
My thanks tonight, as always, to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. And the good folks here at K-Talks AM 1150. Also to producer Desi Doyen and Jeannie Dean helping us out on screening calls and in the chat room and being a guest of ours tonight. So thank you, Jeannie. Good to have you here. My thanks, of course, to Congressman Ted Deutsch of Florida's 19th District. And, the folks in the chat room for Earth. Thank you for Earth. And thanks to all the folks in the chat room for participating and to you, the listeners, for listening. If you get the chance, stop by, help us out a little bit more by buying a copy of Imagine Politique. If you like reading books, you'll be happy you bought this one, even though I show up in it as a fictional character. And, of course, my thanks as always to Mike and Kathy Malloy. They'll be back Monday. You'll have me tomorrow night with Catherine Cryer and some other exciting adventures, no doubt. All right, let's see if I can get everybody in here in the last few minutes. I've got, Kevin, there we go. Kevin in Colorado Springs. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, good evening, Brad. Some on the right would say you're a fictional character anyway.
They wish, don't they?
Yes, exactly. Sunday night, early Monday morning, about midnight, Occupy Colorado Springs had their structures taken down, and it seems to be the MO of the mayors to do this at midnight. Apparently, they think nobody's awake. Or
cowards. They think they're cowards.
Yep.
They do it in the dark. They think nobody will see them. It's just so pathetic. And you can put as much money as you want into the political system, but you can't put a tent. It's just pathetic. So you were an occupier out there in Colorado Springs?
Yep. Last week I went to the Occupy Move On Day of Action, and there was a bunch of young punk kid hippie people, I'd say about 69 and 53 and 43. There were the 20-somethings. We all protested for a couple hours and then got in our cars and went home.
Now, would you have stayed there had there been a tent, or is that what made you go home, getting rid of the tents?
I'm not brave enough to stay there
in the cold.
In a tent. Yeah. I'm one of those old hippies, I guess, 53, and somewhat disabled, but nonetheless. By the time I got home, though, I was all nice and numb. I couldn't feel the cold any longer because I was so numb. But it was just amazing to me. to watch the protesters because they were peaceful, orderly. They came, they protested, and then they left. And
well, I think they've dropped the ball out there in Colorado Springs. They were peaceful protesters, and they didn't beat them with batons or shoot tear gas into their skulls or put pepper spray in their face.
No, up to now, I honestly...
Something's going wrong.
As much as it sometimes pains me, I have to commend our mayor and city council.
Good.
We have not had any trouble, really, with the police except for Sunday night. If you happen to be able to look up the Gazette here in Colorado Springs, you'll see the ridiculous argument over some tables and how the police confiscated the tables for evidence.
Good
that
Lord.
That was kind of amazing to read. They took the tables after the police removed the tent to the city hall and put it on the lawn there. The police then told them you couldn't put it on the lawn. And so the police then arrested one demonstrator and took the tables as evidence.
What part of peaceable assembly and the right to petition your government for redress do these people not get? Kevin, I got to run.
Exactly.
I appreciate it. Thanks, and thanks for what you're doing out there in Colorado Springs. Go out and join the occupation out there. Go say hi to Kevin, really. The San Diego, Sal, welcome to the Molloy Show. Sorry, I'm giving you about 30 seconds total. Ran out of time. My apologies.
Not a problem. That's all I need.
Go.
Bill Press, you asked the question, is the Occupy movement working? Bill Press this morning mentioned that the phrase income disparity is appearing in press X number of times more than it did before.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to say it's like 10 times more or 100 times more.
No, it is. It's a huge times. They were talking about all they talked about was deficits before. Now they're talking about income inequality.
Income disparity, right.
Yep.
Right. So I say it's working. Keep pushing. And that's, I guess, the way to close the show.
Rock and roll. Well, no. No, because I still have another 30 seconds. I'm going to squeeze in Christian from Miami. Thanks, Sal. I appreciate that. Christian, now you've got 5 seconds. Nail it,
hey,
brother.
How are you? I got 30 seconds, so I'll try to say it quickly. I was trying to I wanted to explain, and I wish I'd hear more of the Occupy movement talk about the specific things that the financial industry did to people, specifically with the mortgage industry. And I live in Florida. Basically, one of the things I never hear anyone talk about is the inflated home prices that got people wanting to get $300,000, $400,000 loans, thinking that they were in a property that was going to raise 40% a year. And the reason why I bring up that specific thing is because
I got to go, Christian. Go, quick.
If you look into it, that's what the banks did illegally. That was the smoking gun.
Well done. I got to go, Christian. Well done. Thanks for using your public airwaves. Thanks for joining us here tonight. We will be back tomorrow night. Same Brad time, same Brad channel. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Keep it lit, America.